Okay, we'll get back into Galatians. I guess took a little bit of an excursus last week, but still touching on the same topics. Paul's concerned with what's transpired there in the churches in Galatia, false teachers that have come in, seeking to alienate the saints from Paul, from his ministry, more importantly, from his message and the true gospel. And so Paul's been dealing with that throughout the book, and will continue to. We'll pick back up in verse 16, where Paul, again, because of the influence of these false teachers, Paul says in Galatians 4 and verse 16, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" And the truth make you some enemies in the world. You can, folks don't like to hear the truth by and large. And we looked at one verse, you know, where the Lord was speaking to his detractors. And if they wouldn't receive the truth from him, they're not going to receive it from me unless the Lord opens their ears and eyes. The Lord was speaking in John 8 and verse 42, and he said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word." Folks, that's the state of lost man. You can't fix it. God has to fix it. And even these detractors that heard the very words of Jesus Christ from the lips of Jesus Christ, they couldn't hear his word. Oh, their eardrums vibrated, and they heard the language, but they couldn't perceive it. And he said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning." We'll touch on that a little bit. The first lies, you know, it took place in the garden. He's the father of it. "He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. And if you remember, we also looked where Paul wrote to young Timothy, pastor at the church in Ephesus, in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. Paul said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Man, in his fallen nature, turns away from the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. And in turning away from the truth, they're turned to fables. They'll believe all sorts of things. You know, that we came from some primordial muck or whatever. That a baby in the womb's not a human. I mean, they'll believe anything. And but what you believe doesn't mean that that's the truth. You see, when you deal with the truth, folks say, "Well, that's what I believe." That's proof. No, it's not. Well, that's my truth. There's no such thing as your truth. You watch it, and I just got so sick of it, but the goings on in D.C. and the hearings and that went on there. And then folks talk about, well, her truth. And then folks, well, I believe her, and I believe him. Hey, that can't be! The cognitive dissonance of man. I mean, you can say, I don't know what the truth is. I believe her truth, and I believe his truth, and they're contradictory. That's what I just wash my hands of it. I just, you know, like I've often say, ain't my flag and ain't my country. Tried to communicate that yesterday to a young lady that's running for a judge's position. She seemed like a nice lady. I'll give her this, and I appreciate it. She didn't get all upset when I told her. I said, I don't vote. I said, I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm not going to be a part of the corruption. And I said, just as a bottom line, it says taxation is theft. Now, if I participate in it, I'm participating in the theft. And I said, you know, folks want to tell me if I don't vote, I can't complain. I said, it's just the opposite. And here's, she's a judge. Good-looking black lady. And I'm saying, you know, I'm not going to enter into that. And I said, if you vote, you're giving your consent. And if you vote, you're giving your consent to the outcome. You know what she said? She shook her head, yes. At least, you know, she was willing to listen to some things. And then when I came back around again after we'd had that discussion, and she held out her arms and wanted to hug me. I don't know. Maybe it's PC stuff. I don't know. Maybe she listened a little bit. But there's truth. No, the world tries to make truth something that's pliable. You can kind of bend it around and change it. Or it's negotiable. You and I can talk about it, and we can arrive at some mutually agreeable truth. Or that it's relative. You know, it depends on how you're looking at it. Her truth, his truth, their truth. Rather than theirs, truth. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. This book is truth. And anything that contradicts it is false. Again, when the Lord was dealing with a man that God raised up, Pilate, God raised him up for his purpose. And God was glorified in it. And speaking before Pilate, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Father, you better think about truth. That's why I'm here. Lord said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Those that are of the truth, those that are of the faith, as Paul spoke in Galatians, those that are of the faith of Abraham. Not those that work it up. No, those that are of it, they're a part of it. Lord said, those that are of the truth, hear my voice. And then here's the world. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? You say, okay, Jesus, you got your truth? I got my truth? Well, Pilate wouldn't receive it. He couldn't receive it. And Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. The sad thing is, because we're still human, and in our fallen natures, even though we've been regenerated by the Spirit of God, that the old man that we still struggle with, Christians are sometimes inclined in the right circumstances to be willing to, you know, try to make truth a little more pliable, a little more acceptable, a little more palatable. But as the Lord spoke earlier, we looked back as he was speaking to the Pharisees, the very first lie in the garden, spoken of the serpent. Genesis 3 and verse 1. And now the serpent was more supple than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. You know, the serpent's like, well, God tell you can't eat anything? I mean, you know, was he that? Is that kind of God you serve? She said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The touch it part, evidently Eve put in there, but regardless, the Lord said, you can't eat that. And God said, if you do, you'll die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And folks, we're suffering that to this day. We die to this day. We pray for folks who are going home to the Lord, hopefully. And some of them are going to perdition. But all man dies. And all man dies as a result of the sin in the garden, of believing the lie of Satan. And Satan was a liar in the garden, and Satan is the father of liars. Again, the Lord said there in John 8, as we already looked at previously in John 8, and beginning in verse 43 this time, where the Lord said, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Folks, again, it's no feather in our bonnet. It's by the grace of God. He that is of God heareth God's words. I want you to notice as well, and we make this point throughout Scripture, he's not of God because he hears God's word. He hears God's word because he is of God. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. What a sad condemnation. And yet, you know, the folks that hear that, they don't care. It's just like folks today. You tell them the truth, they don't want to hear it. And they don't care. They don't care what you're saying. And most of them, and you can look at the filthy goings on in Washington, D.C., most of them don't even care if it's truth or not. They just don't care. It's what it's going to get them. It's what the outcome's going to be. It's going to be what they're going to be able to manipulate from it. They don't even care what the truth is. I saw some of those clowns say, well, it didn't matter whether he's guilty or not. You know, he's been accused. And I'm not defending Washington or anybody up there, but it's just exemplary of what we see there. And let me just say this, something we've said so many times before, and I've already touched on today. If you recognize truth, it's because God determined to reveal it to you. It's not because you figured it out. It's not because, you know, you're smarter than anyone else. It's not because you have some special perception. If you recognize truth, it's because God determined to reveal it to you, and for no other reason. That passage we often refer to, but there's many throughout Scripture. Paul talks about it here in Galatians when he talked the Holy Spirit revealed Christ in him. And the Lord, again, when he talks to Peter and says, you know, who do you say I am? Who do folks say I am? Oh, they say you're all kind of things. Who do you say I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Folks, if you believe that, if you sincerely believe, God has revealed that to you. God has revealed that to you. That much I know. I look at around me at the world. I look at politicians. I look at all the rest of the world. And I say, why in the world do people believe the things they believe? You know. But never make a mistake. That doesn't make it a truth. They don't have their own truth. But you wonder, why in the world, how in the world can people believe these things? There is truth. There is but one truth. And that truth is not relative. It is not malleable. That truth is absolute and unique. And so Paul says, I make myself your enemy by telling you the truth. And then he goes on to speak of those who would detract from his ministry, those who would finagle their way in with the saints in Galatia. And Paul touches on their motivation. And there's some lessons here that we all can learn, and we'll unfold it all in coming weeks, but we'll get started, look at it here briefly. Paul warns them to beware of false and feigned affection and love and concern. You know, that's the way folks work. That's the way manipulators work. You know, they feign love for you. They feign concern for you. Well, they just want what's best for you. In verse 17, Paul says this, they these Judaizers, these false teachers, they zealously affect you. And that word affect, and the way it's used there, and we speak of affection, right? You know, that you have love towards someone. And that's the way it's used here. It's not that they have some influence directly on you. We think that's going to they affect you, that they influence you. They maneuver. Now he's speaking here of an affection. They zealously affect you. They claim to be concerned with you, to have affection for you. They zealously affect you, he says, but not well. Everyone that says he's out for your good is not out for your good. Everyone that says he loves you, don't love you. He might just love himself. They zealously affect you, Paul says, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. You know, they want your admiration. They want your esteem. They want your devotion. Paul says they zealously affect you. You would think, you know, people would learn, particularly in this world that we live in, but every day you see folks that are brought in by these various scams, you know, that folks are trying to help you and benefit you. And I'm not condemning them. I mean, I guess in some circumstances anybody might be drawn into those sort of things. But Paul says they zealously affect you. Don't believe everybody that says they're on your side. It's unfortunate, but you need to be careful. Don't believe everybody that says they want to line up with you, that they want to stand with you, that they're seeking whatever is best for you. They zealously affect you, Paul says. They feign love. But I want you to think about this. Feigned love is far more dangerous than open hatred. You know, open hatred, I know what I'm dealing with. I know who I'm dealing with. But feigned love, that gets you assassinated. That's what happens. Feigned affection. And I think what Paul's saying here, and even in the religious realm, I hear folks say, well, he's a preacher. He's a man of God. Is he? You're supposed to be skeptical. You're supposed to be suspicious. There's scams and frauds, and not just in the financial realm, but in particular in the religious realm. These folks have something to sell. These Judaizers and their modern-day equivalents, all the various religionists that are about, they have something to sell. They want to get you in their sphere, in their orbit. So be careful. There's a saying that I've seen attributed to our current Secretary of Defense, but I know I heard it long before he came on the scene. I think Colonel Cooper, Jeff Cooper, may have said something equivalent, and I think it goes back further than that. But an old saying about be polite, be professional, but have a plan to kill everybody you meet. Now, I'm not advocating violence, but it's saying be skeptical, you know. Get along with folks, be polite, be professional. But particularly in this day and age, you best be packing, you know. And you best be observant to what's going on and what this person's really about. And what they're really likely to do, one of our former presidents that was better at talking conservatism than being a conservative, but President Reagan said, trust, but verify. There's a few folks, you know, that I'm willing to let my guard down for. But it's precious few. There's a few folks I really think I can trust, but they're precious few. And I'm not saying I'm negative about the other folks, but you better check it out. Paul says, they zealously affect you. I mean, they just come across as so sweet and nice and caring and looking for your best, looking for your benefit. And they desire you, but not in a godly sense. And I'll look at one passage here. We'll pick up here next week, Lord willing. The Lord speaking to Peter. You know, they have a desire for you, but it's not a good one. And the Lord said, in Luke 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. You see, Satan had a desire for Peter. Now, this one was a little bit more obvious than some of the religious charlatans out there, but it wasn't a good one. On the other hand, Paul had a godly desire, a godly affection for the saints. And we see that manifested when he wrote to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, he said this, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Paul had genuine affection and concern for the saints and their well-being and their welfare. I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. So it behooves us to beware, to test all things by this book. Not by our feelings, because feelings aren't truth. Not by our perceptions. Perceptions aren't truth. Christ is the truth. God's word is the truth. And just because someone appears to be so sweet and concerned and desirous for our welfare doesn't mean they are. And Paul's trying to get this point across to the saints there in Galatia. And it's an important point to learn. Some folks, young Christians, are blown by all these winds of doctrine. Oh, this one says that, and this one says that, and they're so convincing. And they're such an eloquent speaker. And they dress so nice, and none of that means anything. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by him. And I'm thankful that the Lord's been pleased to reveal truth to us. And that's the only way we receive it. We'll take our hymnals this morning, and we'll stand and sing together number 6. My faith looks up to thee. Number six, my faith looks up to thee. And if you like, you'll can stand as we sing it. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for our Savior who is the truth. Lord, thank you for this work of the Spirit. It gave us life and opened our ears that we might hear and receive that truth. And Lord, we know it's all by your grace. And it's all to your glory. Lord, help us to be discerning in our lives. Give us wisdom, those we would heed, those we would trust. Lord, we know that not all men seek your glory or seek the good of your people. Father, we thank you for the Apostle Paul, for the ministry you gave him to the Gentiles, such as we. Pray, Lord, by your grace, we might walk ever in the light of your true gospel. Thank you again, Lord, for each that's here. Go with us in this coming week. We pray, Lord, for those that need your comfort and peace. I thank in particular for the loveless family and what appears to be, from the human perspective, the soon going home of Heather. And if that be your will, that you might bring peace and comfort as you alone can. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of the saints. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior and his all-sufficient atonement, for your everlasting love. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.